Welcome back to Moms Unbothered, the show where we ditch the toxins, trust our instincts, embrace a healthy lifestyle, and don't care who it bothers. My name's Jordan, and I'm also with Kate. In this episode, you'll hear about our elimination communication wins, Thanksgiving foods, and some other random girl thoughts. Before we get into this, if you love conversations that challenge the status quo and help you level up your health, take 2 seconds to hit that like button. Subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or leave a quick review if you're a podcast listener. It helps more moms like you find this podcast. And let's be real, the more of us out there, the less we have to explain when we don't let our kids eat McDonald's.
So what are we going to talk about first?
Okay, I wanted to share, Romy's almost 17 months now, but a week into being 16 months, we've been doing elimination communication since like she was 4 months old. And a week into being 16 months old, she started telling us when she has to poop and pee, like verbalizing like poop, pee, and then we'll go put her on the potty. And she goes, isn't that crazy? Genius.
Yeah, that's insane.
She's a genius, but like also it works. Elimination communication, aka just like natural potty training, I guess. Like we literally started putting her on the toilet at 4 months old. It's crazy. Crazy. And then so many people start as a newborn too, but
do you have a small potty or she goes on the big? She's always on the big.
She poops on the big potty and then she has a small potty, okay. Which sometimes she started just going on herself too, like not even saying anything. And I was like, this is wild. Wow. It's wild. It's crazy. The average potty training used to be 18 months old and it's like almost three now.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Insane. And that's because of disposable diapers.
Big diaper.
Big diaper company. You guys, they just don't want you to succeed. They want you to just keep buying diapers forever.
Yeah.
And you don't have to.
And also, another one of my friends, her name's Instant Loss on Instagram. She's like you. She's always done the elimination communication. But she says, like, babies aren't comfortable peeing and pooping on themselves. Like, they very much absolutely hate it. And that's the only reason that I'm, like, even, like, toying with the idea. I'm just like, I feel so bad. You know,
you
next time I have
your
kids,
shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like how uncomfortable. So that made me really think of it differently.
Yeah, and people like roll their eyes like, oh, babies don't have sphincter control, like newborns. But yeah, they do. They like full on do, and they show you cues of like when they need to go. And
what about nighttime? What does she do?
She stopped going overnight around probably 5 or 6 months old, which I think is abnormal. But I could not put a diaper on her tonight and we'd be fine. Every once in a while she'll go if like she drinks a lot of water or something close to bed. But I know people who are like hardcore into elimination communication, which I did like a soft version and she's still going at 60 months, which is crazy. But I know at night they'll put like a little potty next to the bed and they'll just take their diaper off and put them on. Like they'll usually just kind of stay asleep or go or whatever. But
that is dedication.
I didn't do all that. Yeah, I didn't do all that. No thanks. But she doesn't go at night. Like we have, we'll use the same diaper on her at night, like for like weeks straight because it's just, she doesn't use it. So
yeah, that's wild. Good job, Romy.
I know. So either EC works or I just have a super genius baby or both. So yeah, very exciting things. And I just think everyone should do it. It'll save you so much money and time. Mm-hmm. Like I would much rather, she's much more at that age where she's like excited to do things and like learn and stuff. And like so many people say, you know, 3-year-olds are like fighting them on the potty and they don't want to go. Like I've seen moms in my mom's group, their 4-year-olds aren't going on the potty yet. And I'm like, that's crazy.
I want to know my tip though. If you, this is what I did with Barrett, and I feel like this is why he caught on to potty training so easy. We started like right before he turned 2, I think. I've just always had him, I had like a stool to up to our toilet, and I've always just let him pee standing up like their dads do. I feel like it's so much less intimidating. Obviously, girls can't do that, but if you have a boy and he's scared to go potty, that might be way less intimidating than making them sit on this thing with a hole in it. You know what I mean? So
I've heard boys like you put like Cheerios or something in the toilet and they like to pee on
us. We did that. And then I also just would let him, and I still do, let him pee outside just to like, it's just, I don't know, just get used to it peeing somewhere.
Oh yeah. Romy's always peeing outside. And we told her like, it's okay to pee outside and on the potty.
Yeah. I just have always let Barrett pee wherever outside. Like, if we're playing at the playground, you think we're gonna walk inside? No, we're just gonna pee right there.
Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Public setting. Yeah. Do it.
No, like in our backyard. Like, if we're on the swing set or something. Like, we're gonna just
like at the right park. There.
No.
Yeah, like, around that's a everyone bit else. Much, but okay.
No, like, if we're outside, I'm not gonna be like, you need to go inside. You just pee on the tree right there.
Yeah.
But I don't have any tips for girls because never had a girl.
We need to have the EC lady come on. I think her handle's Go Diaper Free.
Yeah.
I love her, but yeah, we should have her on talk about it.
The other thing I was talking to Jordan about is we both follow On Track Baby, I believe it's called, and they're occupational therapists. And it's just so crazy that, like, okay, for example, everyone knows I'm anti-vax. And people will tell me, like, oh, you're not pro-science. You don't trust the science, which I just do my own. Like, I look at the science and it's not correct. But it's crazy that the same people who preach that and like get so offended are the same people who will be like, cry it out is okay, and rice cereal is okay, and formula is just as good as breast milk. It's like, you're denying science to make your life easier. And I'm not shaming you if you use formula or anything like that, but it's just like, facts are still facts. You don't have to, like, people are almost defending their stances because it makes their life easier. Like, I'm sure it is easier to sleep train your baby and let them do cry it out so you can get your sleep. Like, yeah, that's easier, but it's detrimental to their brain. And I was reading on On Track Baby that because a lot of people do, like, taking care of babies method and Ferber method and all the things, and it's usually like an eat, sleep, play type thing. So they only nap for a certain amount of time during the day, and then you go and wake them up. And I was reading on On Track Baby that is one of the worst things you can do for a newborn's brain, because their brains are developing so fast those first 3 months. Like, they need the rest. But people are telling these moms, wake your baby up. And it's like, the On Track people were talking about how, like, obviously no one's hitting their milestones on time. Like, we are messing with their brain, essentially. And I just think it's so crazy because it's like, I think that we just got to put our pride aside and just be like, yeah, maybe what's easiest isn't probably what's best for our kids. And, like, I'm sure there's so many mistakes I made when Barrett was a baby. Never did cry it out. But, like, just, I think we just got to put our pride aside and just be like, oh, I didn't know that. Next time I'll do this. Or, I don't know. It's just wild to me. We cherry pick the information that we think is good for us, and then if, like, something goes against what we were taught or we believe, it's just like, no, that's not true, I'm not believing that. Yeah,
I know. I like to hear all the sides
and
then figure out what's actually true and not. But speaking on the sleep thing, I was actually just listening to a sleep specialist on this podcast and she was saying how, like, we're obsessed with making babies sleep when it's like biological, it's like breathing and talking or whatever. It's like just biologically ingrained in us, like, we're gonna do it right. Like, why do
when
we
the
need
time
to-
is right
yeah
like, yeah yeah
yeah and like temperaments involved and everything, and we're like making, we're like just so obsessed with making babies sleep when it's not necessarily normal. Like, the way they're sleep, like the way we're making them sleep is not their biological norm.
Well, and it reduces the risk of SIDS. So, like, if your baby is waking up, say thank you, baby, because you just woke yourself up from, you know, like, babies die in their sleep all the time. It's natural for them to wake themselves up. And also, I just think, like, people don't know about, what are they called? Leaps?
When
Like, leaps and just, like,
leaps.
Yeah, developmental leaps. Like, there's so many months where babies are just getting terrible sleep, but it's for a reason. If we would just tell moms that, I think they would feel less guilty. And, like, you know, like, I got to get this baby to sleep. Also, I think,
go ahead.
Just having your baby sleep through the night isn't, like, a flex, really.
Oh, yeah. No.
I don't think anything in motherhood is a flex, right? Everyone's on their own little spectrum. Everyone can do whatever they want. Yeah. Nothing is a flex, except I do think giving unmedicated birth is a huge flex.
Someone was like, someone made a reel and it was like, you don't get a trophy for giving birth unmedicated, and all the people in the comments were like, they deserve one though, like, for real. I was like, oh, good, just on the right side of Instagram. Also, just every baby's different. Like, my best friend Megan had a daughter 3 months before Romy was born, and she, like, from the beginning just didn't really want to cuddle. Like, she just wanted to sleep by herself. But wow. her son now, she just had a son, and he's, like, much more high needs, like, much more sensitive and needs to be held to sleep and nursed to sleep. And it's just, like, night and day different. Same parents, you know, same environment, just two different kids. So every baby's different.
Yeah, for sure. Every baby really is different. I think I would have scarred Barrett if I like did cry it out or like didn't do attachment based parenting, because he's so sensitive. He's still sensitive.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're not like teaching you. Go ahead.
I was gonna say at night if he wakes up and I'm facing the opposite way, he'll literally wake me up and say, "Can you face me?"
Literally, Romy like, does that. She doesn't say like, "Can you face me?" But like, she'll literally pull me to roll over, and I'm like, "Yo, what's happening?"
Yeah. I think some kids are just more sensitive.
Yeah.
And I'm a sensitive person, so it makes sense that my kid is ultra sensitive.
That same podcast I was listening to, she said that the babies and toddlers that are like more high needs for sleep and like need to be reassured and comforted through the night, she said every single one, 100% of them, were the best like pre-K and beyond sleepers she'd seen. So clinically speaking. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, Barrett sleeps great now, if anyone has a terrible sleeper, mine was a horrid sleeper, and he sleeps great now, so if that gives you hope, you will sleep through the night again, except sometimes he does wake me up and say, like, can you scratch my back, or can you face me,
that's so
but, like,
sweet.
He goes to bed right away after, so.
That's so sweet. Before we got on, weren't we saying, like, people who judge us for being anti-something, and then... Yeah,
like because they say we don't trust the science, or like they look at the science, but it's like you're not looking at the science for everything else that you're doing. Yeah. It's just like it doesn't. You're being what's the word I'm looking for? Hypocritical.
I also think it's so funny. This is such a good example of this. Did you see about the Campbell's Soup CEO? Like some audio got leaked, and he was talking about how he can't believe like people are eating their soup, because he's like, I would never eat it because our meat is 3D printed, like it's fake meat, like it's made in a lab meat, and he was like, I would never put that in my body.
Is that legal?
I don't know. And well, I must be. And so these people that are like what did Larry said something to me the other day. He had just showed me the clip about the CEO. And I said, yeah, and people think I'm crazy for, like, eating whole foods and, like, caring about what goes in my body. And yet you can go buy this $2 can of soup and, like, call that a meal, you know, fake soup.
I'm trying to, like, think the last time I ate Campbell's soup.
Oh, God, I can't remember.
I used to eat it when I was a kid, for sure.
I used to eat SpaghettiOs straight from the can, like not even heated up. I would take them in my backpack, and then before practice, after school, I would open the can and like just eat them
cold.
What
are you opening the can with?
I would bring a can opener.
An electric?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Old school. I'm a 90s baby.
Okay. Yeah, now I'm thinking of the Campbell's chicken noodle soup with the tiny little chicken clusters.
It was probably real chicken back when we were kids, but it's probably
That's not true. We weren't 3D printing back then.
Or we were, and they just weren't telling us.
Yeah, true. We didn't land on the moon. Anyway, should we talk about holidays and how we handle them?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. okay. Before, like... probably 3 years ago and beyond, when I first started being crunchy, because I've been doing this for like 6 years. So the first 3 years, I didn't really care about ingredients on Thanksgivings and holidays, because I was just like, what am I going to buy $100 turkey? Like, I can't afford that. So I just ate whatever my parents would buy. And then over the years, and like same with like the stuffing and all the sides, like I was like, oh, what am I going to buy all the ingredients to make everything like healthy? I was like, no, I can't do that. So I would just eat whatever, and it was fine. But now obviously I can buy a better choice turkey and stuff. So we do that. So I think everything was organic at our Thanksgiving for the most part yesterday. And like we did a pasture raised turkey, organic, all of that. But yeah, I'm never like denying. I'm never turning down food. Whereas Joey yesterday, some of the stuff wasn't gluten-free, so he just passed on it, which is obviously fine. But And he also made a small chicken too, like a little organic pasture-raised chicken. And he ate most of that instead of the turkey, which, like, I don't care.
Because
like,
he just doesn't like turkey, or he just didn't like the quality.
Barrett put soap in the thing that the turkey was thawing in, even though the turkey was completely covered in bags, so, like, it didn't get on it. But he was just like, that's grossing me out. I'm not eating that turkey. But and the chicken ended up tasting better anyway. But that's really what we do. I don't really, like, I feel like I don't have food sensitivities anymore. I don't have any, like, besides feeling like crap. Like, we went on 3 walks yesterday just because I didn't want to feel like crap. So we went on a walk before we ate, right after we ate, and then after we ate pie just because I didn't want to have, like, a sugar crash. But other than that, I feel like I'm pretty relaxed on holidays. But I do remember when Barrett was little, I was not chill. Like, I was definitely, like, don't give him that. If it's gluten, if it's not organic, like, if it is gluten, don't give it to him. If it's not organic, all that kind of stuff.
I agree with you. Like, if I was like Joey, like, and I was having a really bad reaction to something, I wouldn't eat it. Like, I just don't want to feel like shit for no reason. Like, no reason at all. I don't know. Yeah. What if you were going? Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, and when you travel, you don't like to eat bad because you're scared. Yeah. You're not scared, but like, you don't want to, you know, get sick or your immune system to go down, which makes sense. I still do it.
What if you were going to someone else's house and, like, it was all, like, everything was bad? Would you eat it? Not bad, but, like, just fake.
Yeah, I would eat it. Wait, fake?
Yeah, like, what if it was, like, Velveeta mac and cheese or something?
No, I probably wouldn't do that. I would probably stick to, like, turkey, like, if there was maybe a
salad.
What
if they cooked the turkey in plastic? Like, those bags.
I would probably eat the middle.
Mm.
I think, but I'm not a big turkey person in general. Yeah. So it's like, I'm not eating a lot of it. I don't know. I try to have a balance. Cause I think 2 years ago, my mom did cook the turkey in a bag and Joey and I still ate it. But yeah,
I don't know if I would eat a bagged turkey.
Yeah. We made sure this year we like told my mom like, okay, no bag, like we'll buy a stainless steel roast thingy it can go in. And it worked out fine. So you don't have to use the bag. Also, I've heard you use cheesecloth. Put cheesecloth in butter, in melted butter, like soak it in butter, and then put a cheesecloth on.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
That's smart. They make super cheap organic cheesecloths. On Amazon, you can get them. I like to control what I can, so I'm, like, happy to bake everything and cook everything. My favorite part of, like, Thanksgiving and like holidays and stuff is the dessert. So like I'm more than happy to just make those myself so I can feel comfortable eating them. And it's like I'm not scared to eat others' stuff. I just don't want to feel like crap. And like it's one day, but it's like sometimes that stuff piles on for weeks afterwards. You're feeling the repercussions, you know? And I just like if I can avoid it, I am going to avoid it, you know? And, like, there's just so many. You can just make all those same delicious things with better options.
Yeah, I agree. Like, yesterday I made 2 pies, and I took some, like, other people's recipes. They weren't my recipies, and then I just tweaked them to be, like, gluten-free. I used, like, organic coconut sugar, like, that kind of stuff. And then, like, Joey would, like, eat it. Like, he loved it. I think he had literally 3 pieces of that buttermilk pie that I made.
I've never had buttermilk pie.
Dude, me either until yesterday, and it was fire. You should make it. You would love it, so I think. Mm. Yeah. It was so good. And it was so rich, but it didn't have a ton of sugar. I think it tasted so rich because it had the buttermilk.
Yeah. See, I'm like Joey. I avoid gluten, but, like, yesterday I ate gluten, but it was organic, and it was I made it. All the, like, I made an apple pie, and then I made a like a cranberry bar thing.
Wow.
So good. And I used maple sugar instead of like white sugar. Well, I used a little bit of white sugar, but not a lot. So like, I'm like, I'm going to eat all this. It's so good.
Was it just you three?
Yeah.
For your Thanksgiving? Yeah.
Yeah. It was nice. We made like a little chicken in the crock pot, which I'd never done before, a whole chicken. It was super easy. That's like the easiest thing ever. And then I made mashed sweet potatoes and I just used butter and cream. Make sure there's no gums in your creams because that'll really fuck up your stomach.
But what cream did you use then? Because I can't find creams without gum.
The Kelowna one. Kelowna? Kelowna?
Kelowna.
Kelowna.
Kelonic.
I did not say Kelonic. I would love to do a Kelonic.
So would I.
No, I used, they were out of that, but that's my favorite brand. Alexandria is another good one.
Yeah, I was going to say Alexandria.
But our store was out of cream, so I used, God, what's the red one? The red milk? You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Let me look, wait.
Let me look that. I think red organic milk.
Red grass-fed milk. Oh, Horizon Organic.
Yeah.
I used their half and half. They don't have cream, but their half and half has no gums or anything. It was just milk and cream. So
I also made, speaking of half and half, it was heavy whip. I made my own whipped cream and I didn't realize how easy that is to make.
How easy.
Yeah. I literally just did that, a little bit of vanilla, and then I did add a little bit of brown, powdered sugar. I feel like it would have been fine without it.
Yeah. I use a little bit of maple syrup.
Oh, smart.
And I then instead of powdered sugar to, like, thicken it, it'll thicken nicely. But if you wanted to, like, it to hold structure, like a cute little whip on top of a pie, I use beef gelatin.
Smart.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're very smart.
I'm so smart.
You are. You're very, you're in the kitchen, you know, like, replacements
innovative.
For things.
I'm innovative. Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, like, I would have no idea what to be swapping things for. Yeah, but yeah.
I guess. And then Larry made a mac and cheese, and I ate that. That was gluten, so
pop off, Larry.
Yeah, but like I didn't let Romy have any gluten.
Yeah,
and she didn't care about the sweet potatoes, and she ate a lot of chicken. And she like hums when she likes something. When she eats, she's like, Have you seen that movie? Have you seen the movie The Switch with Jennifer Aniston?
No.
Oh, well, the guy and then the little boy in there, they like hum when they eat. And that's what she does. She's like,
what?
They hum when they eat.
Oh.
She does it. It's so cute. Oh, do you want to talk about the final walkthrough on your house?
Yeah.
How did it go?
I actually made Joey go because it was 3 hours long. And I had Barrett's going through a stage where he won't stay with anyone unless it's me, Joey, or his dad. And I wasn't taking Barrett to that. So at the last minute, I was just like, you just go. So they had to FaceTime me for a little bit to go over paperwork. But basically, the house is like move-in ready. All they have to do is, you know, like when you buy a new house, they put little pieces of tape everywhere where there needs to be like, you know, touch-ups and stuff. Yeah. So there was a bunch of those for the painter to come fix. But I loved how meticulous our builder was, because he like the smallest things that neither Joey and I would see, and Joey's very type A, like on another level type A. The builder would just like point out stuff and be like, replace it, not good enough, or like there's a scuff, replace it. And so it felt good.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah. And then they said like, okay, you move in and then like within the first 90 days, like if you see anything wrong, we'll come fix it for free and stuff, which is nice because it's like,
yeah,
we're not going to discover. Yeah. We're not discover everything on the first before we move in. So I thought that was very nice of them.
When does your furniture get in?
Next Friday. So we close in the morning and then our furniture is scheduled to deliver at 9 a.m. the same day. Wow. Yeah. So we're like trying to figure that out because we're not supposed to close until 11 a.m. So it's like our furniture people already be there. And it's like you can't reschedule that type of thing.
Yeah.
Because it would have to be the next week. So we would go.
Yeah.
You know, without furniture.
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. So we'll have to see how that goes. But I'm excited to finally.
That's super exciting.
I haven't lived in my own home in 3 years.
That's crazy.
Almost three years. I moved out March of 2023. Technically, I moved out in January, but the house sold in March of 2023. Yeah, and we're almost done with 2025.
That's crazy.
I know, isn't that crazy? Yeah, and I love my family, but I can't believe I have lived with them for so long. But I think I was in such fight or flight and just like so sad and all the like my life was so chaotic that I didn't even realize like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would like my own place again.
Can you believe how much has changed in a few years, too?
No. If you told me this was my life, I would not believe you. three years ago. I was thinking about this the other day. So I started my Instagram page in March of 2023 when I moved out of my house with my son's dad. And that's kind of when I like gave my life to God and was like, I can't live my life the way I do it anymore. And that's when my Instagram blew up or whatever. But like a couple days before I started my Instagram, I got a brand deal with Primal Kitchen on TikTok. And it was my first like bigger brand deal. And it was for, they sent me like 50 different items of like sauces and, you know, all the stuff. But it was for $1,250. And that is a lot of money. So don't get me wrong. But I remember thinking like, holy cow, this is an insane amount of money. Cause it was almost half of what I made in a month. And that's when my wheels started turning of like, okay, if I could just make like $3,500 a month, that like I could be set. Like if I just do a couple of these brand deals. Anyway, and then it turned into like what it is now, but it is just crazy to look back on and like see the evolution, especially my Snapchat memories of like me bawling my eyes out, so sad I sold my house, me getting my first brand deal, and like I specifically remember when Love Every, is that what it's called?
Yeah. Lovery.
When Barrett was a baby, I really wanted to buy their stuff, but it was just obviously way out of my price range. And I remember like the first time they reached out to me when he was like three, maybe he was four, and they like asked to collab, and I was just like, this is insane, because I used to want to buy your stuff so bad, and now you want to send it to me for free and pay me. Like, it's just
so cool.
It's crazy how, yeah, it's just crazy how it all comes full circle. So if your life sucks right now,
it'll get better.
Yeah. Take some, have faith that it will get better, because it will get better.
Thanks, editor. One of my Instagram friends, Organically Faye, who you follow, we just found out. Yep. Anyway, she just got to 10,000 followers like yesterday or the day before. And it's like just crazy how excited you get for your Instagram friends. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of you. It's just like so cool to just see like the growth happen like slowly. Cause like yours blew up quick, but like it's fun to see the ones who are like been trying for a while and then they finally get there. It's so cool.
Yeah, I agree. And also it's just nice. I feel like Instagram friends are more supportive than friends in real life.
Crazy.
Isn't that insane? Like how many people celebrate me online compared to people in my real life?
It's crazy. It's crazy like how many strangers I've told and like celebrated the little wins with. And then, like, people in my real life, like, don't have any idea.
Yeah, because you don't feel comfortable telling them, because they'll take it as you're bragging.
Yeah.
Like, nobody
just will, like, roll your eyes. Like, they don't take you seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I feel like nobody in my hometown, like, my old friends, or I just don't tell anyone anything because it's like everyone just takes things as bragging. So it's like, no one follows me. None of them follow me anyway. But it's just crazy how much support you get online compared to in person. And I feel like it's because, like, I feel like I'm genuinely a person, even when I was struggling, I still really celebrated people, like, when they would get pregnant or when they would get married. Like, I really tried to always go to the things. But I feel like a lot of times people in person have a hard time celebrating you because it's like they feel like, oh, well, they've reached that milestone. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm behind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, comparison, I don't know.
Cause leap of joy.
Yeah.
Thing, but.
Yeah, for sure. Comparison. And, you know, I saw something on TikTok the other day where it's like, just because some good things are happening in someone else's life does not take away from all the good that can happen in your life. Like, you guys are going this way. Like, you're not trying to go at the same thing, even if you have the same goals. Like, just mm-hmm. because someone mm-hmm. has success with something doesn't take away from your chance of having success. So that's a good thing to remember.
It's like fun. It is. And it's like fun to like, you keep each other motivated. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, you'll get in a lull, like, posting, like, you don't feel like posting. And then you see, like, other people going at it, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is, like, yeah, it's fun. Like, it can be fun and have a good time, and, yeah, it's motivating. Yeah, it's fun. I don't know. I also think, like, you used to say a lot, too, you'd get embarrassed, like, from just thinking about what hometown people are saying about you. But it's just, like, it's hard to get past that. But it's, like, why do we care?
Yeah. And like I think I didn't really ever think about it until more recently, as like my page just blows up and then I hear people tell me like, oh, so and so was talking about you, so and so, you know, showed us whatever, But I also, again, I saw something online the other day. It's like time is the number one thing we have in our life that we cannot get back. So like if people are taking the time to talk about you or like share your things or whatever, it's like how miserable are you to be using your free time to speak on whatever I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Also, I was thinking about this. Mm-hmm. Everyone that has social media and posts is posting like as if they were an influencer, whether you're acting like it or not. Mm-hmm. Like, but at the end of the day, why is it cringe if I post something versus what you post? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like whether I'm posting on my Crunchy Mom account and they're just posting on their normal everyday people account, like their goal is for people to see it and for people to interact and give validation too.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're not that different. I'm just getting paid for it. Like,
One of my friends told me a couple of days ago I should make like a consulting, like where people can come to me and I help them like get their house started in like low tox or whatever. And I'm just like, I have such bad imposter syndrome. It's kind of like, why would I do that? Like, no one's going to listen to me. Type of thing. I know. And I so could do that. But I don't know. It's just funny, like the pressure we put on ourselves. And then I look at, I like get jealous of other people who post so like freely and with like no inhibitions. And I'm like, how do you do that? How do you like not be self-conscious? But I don't know.
I just always remind myself when I'm dying, I'm never going to be like,
oh, yeah,
she was talking about me.
That's so true. We won't care.
Yeah.
We won't care.
Yeah. I feel like all we're going to care about is just like our kids when we're dying. So it's like.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you're right. Like who's around us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like to think about it. But
and then Joey sent me something the other day and it was like, when you die, people will remember you for, you know, people will still talk about you for a couple years. Your grandkids will probably remember you. But like your great grandkids, and after that, nobody's gonna talk about you again.
I was thinking about that. It's just like one generation to wipe us out clean.
Yes, yeah.
I've been thinking about that the past few weeks.
Yeah, but it really like mentally was like, oh my gosh, nobody's gonna care.
No one
remembered. Nobody's gonna remember us.
So sad. So sad. We should Joey come on, and we can talk about how it was like building a house. And you guys are kind of like the it couple right now, so we should talk like what being married's like, how it's been for you guys.
Wow.
Thank and you. Does Joey give you the ick yet or what?
No, surprisingly not, honestly.
That's good.
Let me try to think of a time though. He really doesn't yet. I'm sure he will. I always wonder if I give him the ick.
Probably he's watching you eat that gluten. He's like, I gotta kiss those gluten lips later. Like
honestly, probably. Like when I choose to eat badly and he doesn't, he's probably like,
I don't know. Your type B-ness probably rubs his type A-ness a little wrong.
For sure. Absolutely.
Like does he yell at you for leaving the toilet seat up?
No. But if you guys don't know, Joey flushes the toilet with his foot at home. And puts the seat down, like the lid down, after every time he pees.
That's crazy.
Yeah. He does get upset with me with my clothes, though. Not upset, but he's just like, babe, like, can you please put the clothes away? Because it'll just be scattered all around.
God, he would hate my house. You know what else he would hate at my house? He would hate it. We don't do this when we have guests, so he'll never know. But like, if it's yellow, we let it mellow around here. And I think that would he would lose his mind.
Yeah, he'd probably be so grossed out.
That's he would so definitely funny. Be using he'd be using he'd put a cover over his shoe to flush our toilet
for sure.
Does he wear shoes in the house?
No. Yeah. Oh my gosh, never. He has a strict rule of like I don't want to make him sound bad because like he's obviously doesn't like yell at me or like even say anything mean, but one day I was so tired I just ordered Barrett Jimmy John's, and Joey's like number one rule is like no food in the bed, please never eat in the bed. And he came upstairs and I like had a blanket or I had a towel out and was letting Barrett eat on the bed, and he's like, okay, this time I'm actually upset at you. Oh. And it was just so funny because he was like still nice, but he was like, I'm actually upset, like I feel like you're not taking me seriously. And I was just like, sometimes it's hard because I went so long being a single mom, and even when I wasn't, I was still just doing things on my own. So it's sometimes like hard to take into consideration other people's things because I'm like, This is how I've always been doing it. But it's a learning curve.
Do you think Barrett's going to sleep in his own room when you move into the new house?
No. No. Alaskan king bed, thank God they sent me a free bed. And it's massive. It is huge. It's like a king on steroids. So I just wanted that just in case as we have more kids. Just like I never want Barrett to feel like, oh, but like we moved into a new house and I'm not allowed to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I never want him to feel like that. So I was just like, a big bed is a must for us.
Do you say to him like, oh, here's your room if you want to sleep in there? Like, or do you just let him?
Yeah. Like, he knows he can. Mm. And sometimes he'll be like, I'm going to go sleep in my own room. And then he'll go in there for 2 minutes and then be like, never mind. Oh, I didn't want to. Sweet. Or sometimes he'll try to like, be like, I'm going to sleep in Nene's bed. And I know he won't. So I say yes. And then like 10 minutes later, he's like, I just can't do it. I just want to be with you.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's a co-sleeper. But, like, I slept with my mom probably till I was 10.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember ever getting in bed with my mom.
Wow.
Unless we were on vacation, we would share a bed.
Was she making you cry it out?
I don't know. Who knows? Probably not.
Were you, like cuddly with your parents when you were little?
I remember, like, maybe snuggling up on a couch watching a movie, but, like...
Yeah.
I don't remember ever getting in bed with my parents.
Yeah.
But you know what I would do is I would be so scared, I would sleep under the kitchen table.
Jordan, that is so sad.
I know. I would, like, bring my teddy and my blankie and a pillow, and I would sleep under the kitchen table.
Because you didn't feel comfortable going to your mom?
No, I don't think so. I think I was just so... Because their room was upstairs and mine was downstairs. Mm. And we lived in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And so I would just, like, freak myself out. Isn't that so sad?
Yeah, that is really sad. That's so sad. I can't think about it. I'm thinking about Barrett. And just that makes me so sad.
I know. I guess I need to heal my inner child.
You do. You got to co-sleep for at least until the age you stopped hiding under the table to sleep.
God, I don't even know. If I can remember doing it, I was obviously a little older.
Yeah.
I don't know, but whatever. I do love a good cuddle session now, so.
Yeah. Same. I don't like sleeping alone ever.
Yeah. Adults don't like sleeping alone. Why are we making our kids sleep alone?
Yeah. I like, cannot sleep without Barrett. I don't like sleeping without Barrett. It's just like... I'm the dependent one. Well, so is he, but...
Have you guys seen that show, I Love a Mama's Boy, on TLC?
No.
It's, like, about these couples where the woman, like, is really upset because the husband has, like, a really close relationship with their mom. I'm like, that's gonna be you guys.
I'm gonna watch it. No, Joey wouldn't... Since Joey has come, he's like, okay, babe, like, we are raising Barrett to be a fully functioning adult who will leave his home. Yeah. So, like, he does, like, make sure Barrett, like, you know, you're putting the dishes in the sink every morning. You're getting up. You're getting dressed. You're brushing your teeth. Like, you know, he, like, makes him have, like, a rigid schedule. And, like, we, like, really try to tell him, Barrett, like, when he doesn't want to do things, that's when you have to do them, just to instill that you can do hard things. So I feel like that's been really good. Because honestly, before, I didn't really ever think about, like, oh, I'm raising someone's husband, or I'm raising, like, a man who's going to lead a house. Mm. Like, I never thought about that. But then when Joey started talking about it, because he likes to read parenting books.
That's cute.
Yeah, when Joey started talking about it, I was like, oh my gosh, you're right.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah. I mean,
Larry says the same thing. He's like, Romy, she can stay with us forever till she gets married when she's 45. But a son, like, he's gonna be out at 14 or 15. I'm like, okay, well, that's crazy. But, like,
yeah,
he's like, no, that's, he's crazy. Like, literally going to be independent.
Yeah,
like, we're cutting him off as soon as he's moving out. Like,
yeah, I think it's just so important. But it's also equally important to be that nurturing, like, boys need, and I think it was Dr. Amen who talked about this, boys actually need more nurturing than girls. Mm-hmm. In terms of, like, if you're always telling a boy, like, stop crying, you don't, like, boys don't do this, you don't show him, like, all the things, they're not going to know how to process their feelings as adults. Whereas, like, girls are kind of better at that. But, like, it just makes sense. I know so many men who just are so emotionally mm-hmm. unavailable because they were probably told as kids, yeah. like, you don't know, don't cry.
Yeah. Quit acting like a girl or whatever. Also,
yeah.
their frontal lobes just don't develop nearly as, like, I think it's like 35 or 20, yeah. 28 or something. It's way later in life. So even mm-hmm. Larry, the past few months, he's like, I think my frontal lobe's finally developing. I'm like, oh, good for you. That's great.
I do think it is in the 30s for men.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, so they definitely, but yeah, they need to learn how to lead and be men too. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's got to be a balance somewhere. But it doesn't start when your baby's a baby.
Yeah.
Or a toddler.
Yeah, don't let them cry. Don't let them cry it out. Uh-oh. All right.
This was good. All right. Goodbye, everybody. I hope you loved the episode.
Like, subscribe, and follow us on YouTube. Okay, bye. That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
Subscribing and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes in, on, and around their family. We'll be back next week with another conversation. But until then, trust your instincts, question everything, and stay unbothered.